We began the solemn celebration of Holy Week, the most important and holy time of the liturgical year. And in a particular way, today's celebration underscores a profound, tragic, and formative, we might say, or educational irony in our place as followers of Jesus Christ. In the ordinary form of the Roman liturgy, we celebrate Passion Sunday and Palm Sunday on the same day. And we historically, we celebrate the historical elements of Holy Week in a kind of chronological fashion. So today, Sunday before Easter, we celebrate Palm Sunday, which is the day in which our Lord actually entered into Jerusalem triumphantly. And we even replicate this in a liturgical way. We simulate it, you might say, by beginning the liturgy outside of the church where we're going to celebrate the Mass in another chapel. And we bless the palms, we hold the palms in our hand, we read from the gospel that narrates the entry of our Lord, the triumphal entry of our Lord in Jerusalem, and then we actually go through this play, you might say, of processing from there with the palms and singing the hymns which were sung on the day that our Lord actually entered. And then after that, we do what we just did, which is to read from the Passion of our Lord as a kind of introduction into Holy Week, a kind of preparation for Holy Week, a kind of making sure that we're ready, that we have in our minds the things that are going to happen during the week in our Lord's suffering and death. And the irony consists in the fact that we play both the people praising God and welcoming our Lord in this really extraordinary way. If you think about it, the whole city, we're told in the gospel we read from earlier, was stirred to its depths at the entrance of our Lord into the city. And there were people both in front of the procession and behind the procession bringing our Lord into Jerusalem. And when they came into the city, the rest of the people were up in arms over our Lord's entrance into the city. And for the most part, it was a glorious and joyful celebration, welcoming him there rightfully as King of Israel. And yet, a week later, of course, not even a week later, on Good Friday, the same people cried, screamed, demanded, stomped their feet and pounded the table for his death, and threatened Pilate to create an insurrection in Jerusalem, which would have been a bloodbath. They were so enraged and incensed by our Savior that they were willing really to turn Jerusalem upside down to have him killed. And a further part of this irony is that we play both sides of this play in the single liturgy. So what was extended over a period of 5 days, you know, the Sunday when our Lord was brought into Jerusalem triumphantly, and then his being betrayed and rejected and condemned and crucified on Good Friday was extended over 5 days historically, is compressed into a single liturgy today in order to, in a sense, underscore that irony, the fickleness of human nature, the depths, you know, the heights to which we are called and the depths to which we are capable of stooping. And the account that we read, the account that we participate in, that we experience liturgically in the solemn feast day is really an account of humanity, you know, of our own predicament. You know, it's not as though we're reading about other people. We are reading about other people, but that further increases the irony, is that somehow in the providence of God, in the infinite wisdom of God by which he directs the course of a human events without interfering with the freedom of men, he arranged things so that he allowed these things to happen to him in this providential way. And he was truly and really welcomed into Jerusalem as its king, which he was. He entered as king, and he was betrayed as king. He was delivered over into the hands of the Gentiles as king. He was condemned as king. He was crucified as king. And he reigned from the throne of his kingdom, which is the cross. And we put him there by our not by our praise and thanksgiving, by our sinfulness, but now we have an opportunity to somehow reverse this process. And so as we enter the church singing the praises of the children of Jerusalem, we are not only remembering and commemorating what happened on Palm Sunday, now we are trying to make it an authentic, sincere, and enduring hymn, true hymn of praise and thanksgiving for Jesus. When we came in, we really meant what we said. I suppose they did too on Palm Sunday, and that's again our own meditation, that even now, you know, we are capable of falling away from the grace that God has given us. And that is what we do not wish to happen as we begin this Holy Week and progress towards Good Friday. So somehow, in the providence of God, in his grace, in the sacramentals and the sacrament of the Eucharist, which is made available for us through the sacred liturgy, we celebrate and solemnize these mysteries and ask our Lord and Savior to transform us. We ask the Blessed Mother to come into our hearts and help us have real and true compassion for our Lord and Savior, that we might really think about our lives and what we have done, what we have failed to do, what we could do if we were holier than we are, which we should be, and then make a firm resolution to do precisely what we know we ought to do. This is our greatest opportunity within the liturgical year and in the sacramental life of the church to give thanks to God for all he's done for us and to change our lives. You know, the special times of the year, and most especially Lent, is an opportunity to change. It's an opportunity to turn around, to redirect, to put our feet firmly on the road to God, you know, to go the extra step, to take the step that we've been meaning to take but we haven't, that we've neglected, that we've procrastinated on. These are our opportunities here and now. We reject the fickleness that we are capable of, and we invoke the grace of God that we might persevere in our intentions and be faithful. And while we struggle, we continue to struggle and sometimes fail, we still have confidence in the grace and the mercy of Jesus, who is generous in spite of everything, in spite of knowing, you know, going into Jerusalem. You can imagine how sickening it might feel if you actually knew if you were sitting on the ass coming into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, knowing that all this was lip service, you know, maybe sincerely meant and to some extent from the heart, and yet that it was a lot of hot air. It would just evaporate very quickly, and the same people that were praising would be condemning in so short a time. How sickening it must have been to our Lord to experience that. And we know that even in spite of that, He is our mercy and our salvation, that He went through it all because He loves us. And He continues to make Himself available to us, even to be vulnerable to us by remaining in the Blessed Sacrament and coming to whoever approaches the altar. He still does this for us, out of love for us. And we need to be grateful and to understand that there is real power in these mysteries, transformative power, the grace of God that is always there and capable of changing water into wine, changing bread and wine into the body, blood, and soul, His body, blood, soul, and divinity, and capable of changing sinners and into saints, those who are prepared to betray Him into those who are willing to die for Him. The apostles all, you know, made their sworn testimony to Jesus that they would go to death with Him. And, you know, hours later they were scattered to the wind. We see the possibilities in both directions, towards evil and towards good, but love triumphs over evil. Only love is creative, St. Maximilian used to say, and the love of Christ is more powerful than death and more powerful than sin. And so we face Jesus and we walk with Him and profess, as weak as we may be, and with full knowledge of that which we are capable of, we profess that we will go to die for Him and with Him. And we beg Him for the grace to mean what we say now, but also to mean what we say in the hour of trial, and expect His grace and His power to help us keep our promises. We will be renewing our promises on Easter Sunday, promises that we made at baptism or that were made for us at that time. And we believe in Jesus' love for us and that He will make it possible for us to keep them. We invoke upon ourselves and the whole world His mercy through the sake of His sorrowful passion. May He have mercy on us and on the whole world.